Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am grateful and glad within it. Opportunity for us to rejoice, make better choices in this time of choosing. And these are the times in which God has decided we will live. I want to ask you, for anyone who doubts the utter chaos that is being induced into Western Washington and the separate country of Seattle and the separate country of Portland and the separate country of Los Angeles and the separate country of New York, just the most maddening example over this weekend in Seattle. But it's a series of things that happened this weekend, all of them relatable to Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson and their legal theory that when public officials make a mistake, a procedural mistake, cops make a procedural mistake, perhaps in putting a spit mask on a suspect, it had taken three officers, 20 minutes to subdue this person who was sadly under the boot of drugs, that in attempting to protect themselves, they put a spit shield on this man, and he died of an overdose, in all likelihood, an overdose. And Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee decide that's murder. These are the same men who have allowed chaos to rule the streets of Seattle. All these deaths we're going to talk about are the responsibility of Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson. They've committed murder, according to their own legal theory. I want to give you an opportunity to gather anybody who does not believe. It's not even a chaos theory. It's the policies are creating this chaos. And in my judgment, it is self-evident the left is getting exactly what they want. I mean, let's start at the top and work our way down into these Seattle-based stories. The G7 summit was an unbelievably hilarious farce in every way, shape, matter, idea, faction, and form. Here you have the bosses of countries who ruined their economies talking about how to fix their economies. Here you have the bosses of countries making fun, pretend elbow bumping videos. This is how we greet one another. We bump elbows. And then sitting down to eat face to face, inches from one another. The official photo of the G7 shows them all lined up exactly 6 feet apart, social distanced. And then the photo op's over and they're hugging one another. There's a video of Boris Johnson, who's become a useless tool of the party, sitting down for an interview. All of them are wearing the woke masks until they sit down. Absolute theater. And at the center of this is Joe Biden's dementia. We don't play Joe Biden's dementia on this radio program. Well, that is the Joe Biden who's installed in the White House. Because the left has disappeared President Trump from social media. They're still hiding Hunter Biden stories. But at the center of this, so we don't play his voice while he's in the White House. A couple of moments stand out. Joe Biden's dementia this weekend said, "Oh, well, a lot of people, you know, peoples and squirrels that may not know what COVID-19 is. I mean, you do, but a lot of people, they don't know. They might not know what COVID is." His dementia spoke those words, not the squirrel part. I made that up. His dementia, and it is interesting that I have to tell people, no, he didn't, at that time, he didn't say squirrel. Then, getting ready to take questions, Joe Biden nearly made the mistake of calling on press members not pre-approved. And Joe Biden's dementia said, hold on, I'm about to get in trouble here if I don't do this right. And he goes to his note cards to find the pre-approved, quote, reporters on whom to call. Meanwhile, the press is pretending this is the guy to take on Vlad Putin. This is the guy to take it to Vladimir Putin. Because no one messes with Joe. From the top, it's chaos and masquerading and acting and kabuki. And at the bottom, it's chaos and, yes, acts of kabuki, so clear that even someone in the, quote, mainstream media noticed.
We won't tolerate this kind of hate.
Asian Americans have been attacked nationally at an increasingly alarming rate.
2, 4, 6, 8!
This scourge of harassment, intimidation, and outrage violence against Asians and Pacific Islanders in our state is totally unacceptable. Where were the voices speaking against that, fanning the flames of this hatred and fear?
So that was back when, what was it, a couple months ago, that they were pretending to care about anti-Asian violence. That was the hysteria of the moment. And then, of course, since they make race a part of everything, the inconvenient fact is 9 out of 10 of those cases are black people assaulting Asians. So that one didn't land. It was like the war on women. That thing didn't land. So they gave up pretending to care about this. But it's part of the chaos, part of the rule by emotion. This is an unbelievably tragic story of chaos. It is a death that's on the hands of Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee, according to their own legal theories, because they have perpetrated an environment in Western Washington that is purely chaotic. It's from Cairo 7, a young, though veteran, 5-year veteran of the Seattle Police Department was killed. She was off duty. She didn't need to stop to help troopers with the second or third, it's hard to tell, at least second collision in 90 minutes. You will not believe the West Coast detail to this.
An off-duty Seattle police officer was killed overnight while helping people in 2 multi-car pileups. Tonight, sources have confirmed to Cairo 7 that officer is Alexandra Harris, a 5-year veteran of the Seattle Police Department.
Listen, anytime a person is killed simply out there doing what they think is right, should be problematic to anybody.
It's devastating. It's very difficult. Blow for all of us. As I mean, piggybacking to what Captain Meade said, just to lose anybody in this manner would be devastating, but when it's somebody committed to public safety, trying to do the right thing, when they could have just kept going.
Deborah Horn, Cairo 7.
The details. She stopped to help deputies on I-5. Washington State Patrol. This was dealing with 2 multiple vehicle collisions in a 90-minute stretch. And one of the drivers involved in that original collision then stole the personal vehicle of the dead officer. It's the least concerning. I mean, it's a thing. And here we have a woman dead. But at the accident scene, one of the people involved in the previous accident decided to steal her car. We will find out that this person has a long criminal record. We will find out that this person is drug addicted. These are the circumstances. This is the environment so-called Governor Jay Inslee is creating and so-called Attorney General Bob Ferguson is fostering. According to their own legal theory, they murdered that officer. That's one instance. Is it any wonder that police are leaving Seattle in droves? Second case. Police are looking, doing an investigation after a man was shot and killed in Pioneer Square. They will find out. The shooter was well known to cops. They will find out. The shooter is either gang-related or drug-related. And if they don't, it will be a wild coincidence. It'll be an aberration that that be not the case. That Pioneer Square area is the direct result of Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee's public policies of allowing drug cartels to set up business, sex traffickers to set up business. It's the direct result of heroin Dan Satterberg announcing he will not prosecute drug crimes. It's the direct result of so-called city attorney Pete Holmes gladly refusing to prosecute any significant crime. It's the direct result of decisions made by public officials. They murdered this man. According to the legal theories of Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee, they murdered this man. That's the second case. Then there's this. Near the anniversary of Antifa Stan, CHOP, when two domestic terror groups seized six blocks of downtown Seattle, the uncle of one of the teenagers killed in CHOP is apparently one of the men killed in a weekend shooting in White Center, which is just south of Seattle and is effectively Seattle. It's right on the border. Horace Anderson. He was the father of Lorenzo Anderson. Horace Anderson was shot. Last report I heard, he was fighting for his life. They were two of four people shot in what looks to me to be a gang incident. Sadly, the young man who was killed in CHOP was apparently in the gang life and in the drug life. That's four people shot, two apparently dead, connected back to CHOP, which Mayor Jenny called the Summer of Love, that Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson allowed to fester for 6 weeks as people in unmarked junk trucks with people armed with semi-automatic rifles in the back of the truck, in the bed of the truck, roamed downtown Seattle, blocking police officers from stopping their vandalism. These murders, these two and the other two shootings, were done by Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee according to their legal theories. Their legal theory is, when public officials, cops, make a mistake and put a spit hood on a man, it took three officers, three grown men, 20 minutes to gain partial control over this person. They employed a spit shield, which is possibly a procedural error. Bob Ferguson and James said, that's murder. Put them in prison as murderers. Here we have three deaths, all attributable, all of them, to the anti-cop hysteria, to the chaos induced by so-called public officials, members of the party. I mentioned an act of kabuki theater. Brandy Cruz is the best television reporter in all of Seattle. Not debatable. Brandy has noticed that so-called Governor Inslee forced out the head of the Department of Corrections and pretended it was voluntary. In other words, an act of theater. And this raises the question. When Stephen Sinclair was voted out, or not voted out, moved out by Jay Inslee, and Jay Inslee was pretending Stephen Sinclair had resigned voluntarily, was that because Stephen Sinclair didn't want men rapists in women's prisons? Was that because he was against letting all the felons go, pretending it was because of the COVID flu? Was it one of those two things? Perhaps Stephen Sinclair thought that the public should have access to the names of the men, some of whom are rapists, who are being inserted into the women's prison in Monroe, where the inmates and staff have reported being terrified. Or was it because Stephen Sinclair came back and said, what are we doing? Why are we releasing these dangerous felons? Because of the COVID flu? In any case, Brandi Cruz has noticed that act of theater. There's the act of theater of pretending the death counts were higher. There's the act of theater of using the highest PCR tests in the nation, 35 to 38 PCR threshold cycles, to make the COVID flu appear worse. There's the acting, the kabuki theater, that the lockdowns have been at all helpful. All of this is theater. There's the fence around Olympia. Citizens not allowed to observe their legislatures. Legislators not allowed to have floor access. A fake legislative session. Theater. This is life under the party. 100% theater. Increasingly near 100% chaos. Remember the rules. The party is never wrong. The party will never apologize. You may not cross the party without being punished. On the topic of the party is never wrong. Never wrong. Congratulations, United States citizens. You have Susie Levin, who oversaw one of the biggest cases of fraud in the history of state government, when we're told to believe Nigerian scammers stole $500 million. Originally, it was like $1 billion from Washington State. They claim to have gotten some back. She got a raise. She got to go do the same thing under Joe Biden's dementia in Washington, D.C. Who does Jay Inslee name as the replacement? Now, I don't know anything about this woman, Cami Feek. She may be terrific. I have no business judging her because they don't know a thing about her. I know this. She's a careerist. She worked at the State Employment Security Department under Susie Levin. I haven't seen her blow whistles. I'm going to guess she's an apparatchik under Jay Inslee, who will now run this, and no one's going to go to jail. The investigation is over. Bob Ferguson doesn't care. That's evident by the fact that there's no investigation, but he'll charge cops with murder. He should be charging himself with theft. And Jay Inslee with theft by their own legal theories. Speaking of theft, you know what the new hot commodity people are stealing in Seattle is? You're not going to believe this. Wood. Wood. That's the chaos. That's what's been inserted into this area by the party. So much more, including a look at the other side of Pride Week as we continue right after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic.
leading up to the $1 million lottery drawing to entice more people to get the COVID shot.
The winning begin. The first drawings in the state's vaccine lottery actually happened today.
No, we are entering your vaccine lottery question.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Get to the other side of Pride Week. The reason we do that segment, by the way, is it really is up to responsible gay people to see that the abuse of children under the auspices of Pride stop. And man, I don't personally know a gay person who, once they understand, for instance, the chemical transing of kids that the Children's Hospital does, doesn't like to talk about, but they do in Bellevue or Mary's Bridge. They do that in Bellevue, sometimes against parental permission. Sometimes, if you talk to parents, they sell the kids on it. Hey, maybe you're sad because you're not really a girl. That's what's one abuse. Then there's also, have you seen this video of a four-year-old, maybe four? Maybe three, twerking in the streets of New York, a sexualized dance. The kids' TV, believe it or not, kids' TV, Blue's Clues, Nickelodeon. We played some of this last. This is new. So we'll get to that next segment. And it's really just a request that responsible gay people say, stop this. And remove these organizations from the Pride Day, Week, Month thing. There is a really important update in terms of the COVID flu and the mRNA injections. I told you last week, this is going to be coming up Friday. The CDC has waited 2 weeks. I mean, they organized an emergency meeting to talk about the dangers of the mRNA injections for adolescents and teens and adolescents, even as the so-called CEO, well, he's not so-called, he's the CEO of Pfizer, is happy to announce, hey, we're starting to study the mRNA injections on little kids, 5 years old, 5 through 12. There's an emergency meeting this Friday about these. Now there's this. This is from Alex Berenson on Twitter. 19-year-old Simone Scott was excited to get her second dose of Moderna's COVID vaccine on May 1. Now her mother is arranging her funeral. This young woman had a bout with pneumonia when she was an infant. She had pneumonia as a teen. Other than that, she was completely healthy. She got the COVID injections. And after her second one, she began to feel ill, tired and listless. They went through heroic measures to save her once they figured out that she was suffering from myocarditis, which is a swelling of the heart, which is happening in enough cases with young people that the CDC is saying, hey, we need to have an emergency meeting. They said that 2 weeks or a week ago. So they're waiting 2 weeks to have their emergency meeting. You haven't heard this from the Mockingbirds. They went through heroic measures to save this young woman, including a heart transplant. She died, and they have her heart. And they've done autopsies and studies on her heart, and they're refusing to say what caused this. And yet there are 800 reports of heart inflammation after the injection of these mRNA injections. That's just in the United States. And this reporting, by the way, is voluntary. It's passive. Most people don't know if they're feeling listless and tired. They may think it's a side effect of the injection. Many of them won't go to the doctor. Gladly, many of them live. Most of them, the vast majority of them live. The CDC, again from Berenson's work, the rate of myocarditis in teens and young adults is 40 times higher than the background rate, the baseline rate, 40 times. And this is all for an age group that receives no material benefit whatsoever from the mRNA injections, and they want to shoot five-year-olds up with it. This only makes sense if you remove from your thinking the notion that this has anything to do with healthcare. The numbers are upside down in terms of risk-reward ratio for young people in getting the injections. They're far better off getting COVID than the injections. So the only way you can make this make sense is to say the goal is not healthcare. Just as with masks, the goal was not healthcare. The masks never did anything. Now that they've flipped the masks, now that people who have the mRNA injections are so unsafe, they must have people who didn't get the mRNA injections masked around them. There is no way to piece this back together and make anything about this be about healthcare. Then, and by the way, I see USA Today, quote, fact-checking this, and I see the AP, quote, fact-checking this. I'm just going to remind myself, they're the same ones who fact-check that, oh, hydroxychloroquine, that stuff will kill you dead. Ivermectin, oh, that stuff doesn't work. Oh, masks, there's strong evidence that masks work. Oh, Hunter Biden, no. That laptop thing, that's a Russian hoax. A researcher in Canada got access to some of the vaccine or so-called vaccine, the pharma company's filings in Japan. And one of the things they found out in Japan was, hey, you know what? The spike proteins that are supposed to be produced just where you're injected, it's just they're supposed to stay there. They don't stay there. According to this researcher, these spike proteins are in and of themselves injurious to the body, that they can injure the heart, myocarditis. It can injure the brain, causing blood clots. We've talked about the young people with blood clots in their brains. It does this because they themselves are injurious into the reproductive organs of women. What have we seen? Vaginal bleeding, losses of pregnancies. Again, in small percentages of people. But the survivability rate for this virus is so high that none of the drive to inject anybody but the most vulnerable makes any sense. It is not healthcare related. It cannot be healthcare related because clearly they're not doing things that lead to health. And a reminder, as we learn that a judge has determined that that experimental gene therapies, these two mRNA injections, are not experimental, therefore he's voiding a lawsuit from nurses and doctors who do not want to be shot up with these and saying, oh, well, you can get shot up or you can get fired. Reminder, the hospital staff at Houston Methodist Hospital have reported they've been told to not report to the VARS database these vaccine injuries. They've been told that. We'll come back with the other side of Pride Week after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic. Okay, so I just watched another act of theater. Absolutely terrifying. This is from NATO. It's world bosses. They walk out onto a floor with their stupid, useless, for theater only woke masks. All of them have had the mRNA shoved in their veins. All of them. They've got their stupid woke masks. I think all of them. Oh, no, that's not true. They're not all white. Because the boss of Canada has one with the Canadian flag on. It's black. They walk out with their stupid woke masks. They do this stupid 6-foot distancing thing. Then they take their woke masks off. They stand for the camera and the photo op. There's a digital monolith behind them. They turn to face the monolith all together, celebrating the year 2030 and our glorious reset future. This is a stage show. Celebrating, what is 2030? It's the Great Reset, which is the great conspiracy theory that's not real. There's no Great Reset. even though Joe Biden's dementia says build back better and so does everyone else. And Boris Johnson become an absolute useless tool of the left. It's remarkable. We've been talking about the other side of Pride Week, part of the Great Reset. It is. It's part of the reset of the schools and the minds of children. It's part of the separating of children from their parents. The reason we do this is to talk to responsible members of the gay community. In other words, most gay people. To say, do you really want this event that's gone from a day to a week to a month, where every single corporate entity on earth virtue signals towards you? They don't really care. I mean, it's virtue. Yeah, Chipotle is doing this. Chipotle has drag-inspired burritos. Nothing says burrito like a man dressed as a woman. But it's... I shouldn't say... Was that in your ear? Okay, good. I was going to say, let me just apologize. Alex just said something in my ear that's really pretty good. I have to think about if we can air that or not. So there is a man named Andrew Levitt, and he performs under the drag name Nina West. And the people at Blue's Clues have decided it's very, very, very important that kids young enough to watch Blue's Clues have characters in it who have scars on their chests because they have had their breasts chopped off in becoming trans.
Families marching 4x4, hurrah!
You can see
trans members of this family all love each other so proudly, and they all go marching.
You can see the scars.
The big parade, come join the fun!
They are doing everything they possibly can to draw more kids towards the belief that they were born in the wrong body. Everything. Who benefits? Number one, the party. They get to be the fun parents. They get to say all your problems are fixable just by recognizing that you are in the wrong body. Big Pharma. Hey, that's weird. Big Pharma benefits. That's so weird. They get drug addicts for life. Who benefits? The left, which is the leader of the party. They get intersectional allies for life. This is, again, for children. That was Blue's Clues. This is straight from Nina's full children's album. Children's album. Drag is magic.
What is drag? Drag is dress up for girls and boys, and it's pretty hard to mess up. All you gotta do is imagine who you wanna be. And make it lovely or make it trash. You could sashay in a garbage bag. Maybe you could make it fashion. All you gotta do is trust yourself and believe. Magic.
For little kids. My friend Dory Monson on Kyle Radio talked to a friend of his who's gay. I think I know who this is. I think this is a mutual friend of ours. Who said, under no circumstances is drag for kids. But this is where the left has pushed us. See, this is the other side of Pride. And I beg responsible gay people to kick this stuff out of your month. And if not, then understand, this is what Chipotle likes, Starbucks, Alaska Airlines, the NFL. They're celebrating this. People are beginning to speak up. There's an eighth grade girl who spoke to her school board and said things it wants not to say. She said, this is an eighth grader. speaking about a policy that would let boys shower with girls. Oh, you mean trans girls? No, I mean boys. That's what I mean. She said, everyone knows what a boy is, even you. Your proposed policies are dangerous and rooted in sexism. When woke kids ask me if I was a lesbian or a trans boy because I shut my hair, it should tell you these modern identities are superficial. Now boys are reading erotica in the classroom next to girls. And you want to give them access to girls' locker rooms and force the girls to call these boys she? You do this in the name of inclusivity while ignoring the girls who will pay the price. Your policies choose boys' wants over girls' needs. Eighth grader, speaking more common sense than 90% of the adults in the Mockingbird media. In fact, 100%, near as I can tell, of adults in the Mockingbird media. Speaking is speaking sense. A Nashville teen on the woke mask phenomenon.
When I was in fourth grade, I learned about the scientific method. The main steps in the scientific method are observation, research, forming a hypothesis, testing the hypothesis, analyzing data, and drawing conclusions. From those early days, we were taught to think critically about our world. From my point of view and that of my high school friends, it seems you have made an observation and a hypothesis about masks, but skipped the step of analyzing the data to see if your hypothesis was correct before drawing conclusions. With fewer people infected, the likelihood of any unvaccinated people being exposed to the virus will become vanishingly small. I'll end by saying that in less than a year, I will turn 18, and I will be able to vote. Me and my friends will remember how you have handled these decisions. Before all of this, we didn't realize how political our school board was and how few adults were standing up for us and listening to us. Now we do, and we will vote accordingly.
Amen and amen. Come back on the Todd Herman Show. We continue to test Republican office holders. Jesse Young, I just read an article. Jesse's featured in ShiftWall. Just full disclosure, Jesse's a friend of mine. Doesn't mean I'm not going to test him. He's a state rep in Washington State. He's the one who said he was barred from being a full representative of his constituents. He's the one who said that this legislative session is a joke. We'll be joined by Jesse as we continue in the Todd Herman Show.